in to another episode. This one is just a short one. I'm still kind of, you know, playing around with the format here, trying to figure out if you guys want to hear long interviews, one short interview, three short interviews, whatever. So, you know, bear with me while I kind of figure it out and keep an eye on the statistics and see what people respond to and what they don't and stuff. So this one is a chat with Monkey from Korn. This interview was conducted for Australian Guitar Magazine, and they've kindly allowed me to use my interviews on the podcast as well. Now, Monkey I've interviewed a bunch of times, so we've kind of built up a bit of a rapport over the years, and he's always a fun guy to talk to. Great player. You really should check out his band, Fear and the Nervous System, who put out a record a few years ago. Really great stuff, and criminally overlooked. We kind of mentioned that a little bit in this interview. But Korn are coming down to Australia to headline the Download Festival on March 24 here in Melbourne. It's the only show they're playing in Australia on this tour, and it sounds like it's going to be pretty special, so I'm really excited about that. So without any further ado, here is Monkey.
You are now connected. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Pete Hodge?
Good to hear from you again, man.
Pete Hodge.
That would be me.
Been a minute.
It has, it has.
How are you?
I'm really good. This interview is for Australian Guitar Magazine, but do you mind if I use it for my podcast as well? Because I've started doing that, and it's kicking ass.
Whatever you want, man.
Excellent.
Anything for you.
Oh, shucks. Thanks.
if we have some interruptions because my son keeps running up here in the room, you know, just a fair warning.
Okay, same thing with my dog. He always runs in and he's scratching around. And so, dude, I guess the first thing we should talk about is... Okay, you seem like a pretty humble guy to me from our previous interviews, but do you ever just pinch yourself and go, like, holy crap, I'm headlining Download?
It's pretty unbelievable. pretty unbelievable. And then it's like... you know what? I'm going to need a 5-star hotel. So it's like, wait a minute. I'm not staying at that shitty hotel again. I want to stay at a nice hotel. We're headlining Download. So, there's those moments of, you know, I'm so humbled and I'm so honored to play. And then they come back and say, well, you're staying at this hotel. And you're like, no, we're headlining, you know. I want to stay at a nice hotel. I want a first class ticket too.
Free minibar.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So this is the only Australian show. What are you kind of doing anything different, you know, because of that, or?
Well, we're gonna bring a full production.
Yeah.
You know, we're gonna do something that's special for the fans in Australia, and. You know, we thought about the different options that we could do and do other shows while we're there, but it was sort of a logistic thing and getting a large production moving across the country.
Mm.
Sort of like, oh, we're going to have to cut this. We won't have the same sound as we're going to have at the Download Festival. We're not going to have the same lights. And it's like, well, we don't want to give the fans sort of a half-assed show.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to give them a full Korn experience with a long set and something they can really remember, you know.
Yeah, and also like.
We're gonna put together, you know, we'll probably put together. It's gonna be 20 years since Follow the Leader.
Mm.
So we'll probably put. A few of the Follow the Leader tracks in the set.
Cool.
Yeah, so, you know, little stuff like that. We're working on a new production for Australia's never seen before.
Yeah, cool. I feel like you guys are in an interesting point right now because you're still putting out vital music. It's not like you're one of those legacy acts where people only want to hear like the first record or whatever. You're always getting new fans, but now, as you said, that record's 20 years old. You've got some fans who have, you know, stuck with you, and now maybe they're going to bring their kids and stuff. Like, for me, my son's 11.
That's so cool. Yeah. I love it.
My son's 11, and I love being able to take him to gigs now. And it's, I'm the cool dad who's like, come on, son, let's go watch Dream Theater or whatever.
That's so cool. I mean, I love it when I'm up on stage and I see families or I see a dad with his son in the front row and they're holding on to the barricade. It just makes me have such a great experience being up there playing because I just see the bonding and the generation of music that, you know, it just brings people together. Obviously, music does that, but I think it's just such a great experience for you and your kids.
Yeah. You know, I saw something...
I wouldn't take my kid like to see it, like, if, you know, G.G. Allen was still alive, I wouldn't take him to go see that.
Yeah. I saw the other day, I was just down the street, and I saw a kid who was probably about 13 or 14 in a brand new, crisp Marilyn Manson shirt. And you could tell he just started to grow out his hair. And it's like, that was his first entry, you know, first steps into this world. And it's like, in a couple of years, that shirt's going to be well-worn and his hair's going to be down to his ass and he's going to be one of us.
Yeah. I mean, that was me. That was me at 12 years old, 11, 12 years old, you know?
What was...
One of the awkward kids, you know, with long hair, trying to find who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Still looking. and trying to find a group of kids, and that was all just like, hey, this guy likes these bands, so it's like, okay, let's hang out.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of and that's such an awkward age too, and when you're finding music and you're finding a group of friends, that always seems to be the galvanizing element in putting friends together. It's like you can share music, you know.
Yeah.
And you find common things in the lyrics and that kind of reflect your experience up to that point in your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was your first band shirt? Mine was an AC/DC shirt I got when I was 10 years old, and I was so proud to wear that thing.
Mine was Ozzy Osbourne. It was Diary of a Madman.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I wore that every day. I don't even remember what my second one was. All I remember is that one.
Yeah.
Cool. And I was like, oh cool. And then I, you know, kind of like cut the sleeves off and then kind of tried to do the, you know, the shark fence on the side. I don't know what it's called, but you kind of tatter it up on after, you know, after a couple of years, I started outgrowing.
Mm-hmm.
Modified it.
Yeah. Now we should talk guitar because we're both guitar nerds, let's face it. Is there any new
Okay, let's talk guitar.
Is there any new gear that you're really digging at the moment?
You know, I like the stuff from Strymon.
Mm-hmm.
I like their effects pedals. I like that you can adjust them on the fly. It's on the floor, you know, you can reach down, you can keep it in the drawer and mess with it. I've been messing with my Kemper. Mm-hmm. I have a Kemper that I really like. Guys in Germany gave me one. It's like the toaster style one, and I can save my preset on a USB drive and take that wherever I go. But as far as, like, you know, doing live shows, I gotta have the triple rectifier. I'm an old school guy like that.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta have my pedal board. I gotta have speaker cabinets faced at me. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, new gear. I got a new guitar, which is it's not an Ibanez, but it's a
a Fender Starcaster.
Oh, cool.
It's Chinese made.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Chinese made semi hollow body. I think they did bring it back for a minute. And
those things.
I'm having a chat with a friend of mine named Matt Mitchell, who's playing with Perfect Circle.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the bass, and we played in Mexico City. I was like, that bass is so sick. Man, he's like, yeah, you can still get the guitar versions of this online. And I looked it up, and I was like, okay, I gotta get one.
Yeah. Well,
and it's just something that I like playing because it sounds different from my typical Ibanez, you know, in the house, like a finger pick. I just don't see a need to, you know, without the amp. It's just, it sounds nice. It's just, I really like it.
Yeah. Well,
and for a Chinese-made guitar, it's really well-made. Yeah.
Dude, the quality of guitars these days, just in general, is so much better than when I started playing when I was like... Well, I got my first electric at 11 years old, and it was a piece of crap. And everyone else I knew, their guitars were pieces of crap. And now you go into a store, and for like $300, you walk out with something that, you know, will stay together.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Like, I saw the RG some guitar... six string on sale over, you know, we have the Guitar Center out or chain here, which is like, it's a really well made guitar.
Mm.
You know, I think they make them in Thailand or something.
Indonesia.
And it's just Indonesia, that's right. Mm. Should have known that.
Yeah, no, I've got an Indonesian
eight. You get that for like $150-$200 and it just sounds great. You would never even know.
Yeah. No, I've got an Indonesian... I've got a lot of Ibanezes, but I've got an Indonesian 8-string. And that thing, the quality of that is on a par with some of my, like, 90s Japanese-made Ibanezes.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. So what are you working on? Are you working on anything outside Korn at the moment? Like, as you probably remember, I friggin' love the Fear and the Nervous System album.
Yeah, you're my only fan.
Oh, come on.
I mean, there might have been a few. I don't even, you know, I lost distribution and never followed up. I was going to make some vinyl. I still might do that.
Mm.
Just some limited run of some vinyl on it. But no, I haven't been doing anything except raising my family.
Yeah.
And that really takes up a lot of my time if I'm not on tour.
Mm.
When I'm on the road, though, I'll sit with my, you know, I'll get a little portable laptop with some plugins and stuff. I'll sit and write music. But I tend not to pick up the guitar too much until I have, you know, atmosphere and beats and sort of a bass line. And then maybe I'll put some guitar to it. But I don't typically work on like riffing until we're in a full band setting where, you know, Ray's there, head there. It just lends it to, there's more of an energy, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's funny, when I was a kid, I used to play like 8 hours a day if I could, and now I get less time to play because, you know, I'm a dad and I've got work to do and stuff. And I find that the way I practice now is so different, but I don't feel like I need those 8 hours a day anymore. I put those in, and now the good from that is still paying off now.
Yeah, I feel like that too. Feel like when I sit down to play, I'm actually just finding chords that sound nice together, and then figuring out what that chord is later, you know, or I'll, you know, look at a couple of diagrams of some new chord shapes, or I might already know, and just looking at different voicings on different parts of the neck. Or lately I've been trying to listen to, like, I don't know, piano. Sometimes, you know, in a commercial there'll be a piano piece.
Mm.
And I'll try to, like, pick up my guitar if it sounds like, pick out the chords. But cause typically some of the chords that you hear on the piano wouldn't normally be played that way on a guitar. So I'll try to transpose some of that stuff and pick out those notes.
Mm. Yeah, well, the fun thing with piano chords is often...
Or even in a movie. Even if there's a theme in a movie.
Yeah.
A recurring thing, I'll try to figure out the melody, what it is, and just, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, the fun thing with piano chords is often those notes are so close together, which you don't do on guitar because you got to do these crazy stretches and stuff. But, you know, you get up high on the neck and, you know, you can get some really cool textures there.
Right, and then if you get up higher on the neck, and then you can also let some of the higher, like the E and the B ring, with some of that come up with a dissonant, melodic, weird kind of something you wouldn't normally do.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I love so much about guitar is there's always something new to do, and it's as tricky or as easy as you want to make it.
Yeah, and then if you take it in and throw it through a new effects pedal or a, you know, that Debbie Ever stuff is really cool.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah.
There's so many guitar pedal companies now, I can't even... Like, when we made the first record... We used mostly vintage effects pedals, like the Mutron and the Big Muff, and that sort of old, like, phaser pedals, you know,
the old
Ibanez and the Boss pedals. But now there's so many, it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I just got the new Seymour Duncan delay, because, as you might remember, I do their social media and stuff. And it's insane because it has like, it's like a ducking delay, but it's not just for the volume of the echo. It's also for like, you can set it to do that for modulation or the tone, like the overall tone. So if you pick harder, you can make it more trebly.
Are these the shiny ones and the fancy looking ones?
No, this one's like...
Am I thinking of that? Might be Ernie Ball.
Oh yeah, that's Ernie Ball. Oh yeah, those are cool. The like pedal rocker, like distortion and... delay,
like the
yeah.
Control.
Yeah, yeah. Those are sweet.
But you have to tell me more about the Seymour Duncan one.
Yeah, so it's a digital delay that has a feature where you can set, you know, if you play harder, then you can bring in more modulation or less modulation depending on your picking strength. Or, you know, all kinds of cool stuff.
I like that.
Yeah, it's got like a, you know, reverse mode and stereo and analog, digital and analog voicings for each setting, and it's programmable and MIDI, and it's just insane.
Wow.
Mm.
I'm still digging into that, the Eventide H9 pedal.
Oh man, that thing is so cool.
That thing is insane.
Yeah. I always wanted, you know, one of the big rack Eventides that Steve Vai used, you know, that was like...
Yeah, me too.
That's my Les Paul.
We had one at the studio.
Yeah. That's like my 59 Les Paul.
There's so many options, I was just like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that looks like our time up, unfortunately. So it's always great to chat, and I can't wait to catch you guys at Download. It's going to be absolutely insane.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have some time to hang out for a few minutes.
Yeah, for sure. At last, because I've never met you in person.
I know.
Oh, well.
I know.
Will you be at NAMM?
I think somebody else asked me today, and I'm on the list. I don't know if I'm actually going to go yet.
Yeah.
I would like to check out some new amps. I'd like to see a couple of new diesel amps and cabinets.
Mm.
And see what Peter Diesel's, what his latest creation is.
Yeah, cool. Well, I'll be there, so if you do show up, I'll see you
right
around.
Right now, I'm not, like, scheduled to do any signings or anything like that. I might just go just to kind of stroll through there.
Yeah.
Maybe do some shopping or something.
Yeah, cool. Well, if you do, I'll see you there.
Okay.
Up
to California, huh?
Yeah. Every year, I gotta do the name crazy.
I see that heat wave you guys are having.
Oh, it was nuts.
Crazy.
Yeah. Ugh. Cool. Well, I better let you go, and I'll catch you soon.
Okay. Thanks, Pete.
Cheers. See ya.